be seated.
So we see her at the foot of the cross where Jesus was crucified, at the tomb where Jesus was buried. She was at home on Saturday, the Sabbath, watching with prayer and on the path before sunrise on Easter morning. She is Mary Magdalene, after all. The apostles had scattered. They fled, they stumbled. Jesus had predicted it for them. He said, "You will all fall because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Mary was a faithful sinner, though. She was not alone. There was Mary, Jesus' mother. There's Salome. There's Joanna. There were the other women standing vigil at the death tree and then processing to the tomb with the lifeless body of Jesus Christ. But Mary rested, and then she worshiped on the Sabbath. She was one of the members of the Ladies' Guild who prepared incenses and spices for the body of Jesus after the Sabbath, before the dawn of light of Easter. She went to bed quickly, and she probably awoke before sunrise the next morning to return to the burial plot of Jesus. She made not one but two early morning runs to the tomb, although our text doesn't seem like it says it in John. There were two runs to the tomb on that first day of the week for Mary. And what a reward she received for her faithfulness. On her first tomb run, there were two angelic men where the body of Jesus had been, and they said, "He's not here, but he has risen," according to St. Luke. And on her second run there, which is recorded again in John chapter 20 now, Mary Magdalene saw and heard another. This wasn't a heavenly angel. It was the resurrected Jesus. But she was to see him alive. She was the first to speak with him. She was the first to touch him. She ran back to the town. She told the 11 that she had seen now the resurrected Lord. Faithful Mary. Not Mary, the mother of Jesus. Not Mary, sister of Martha, the sister of Lazarus. Not Mary, the mother of James or John. Not even the faithful woman who anointed Jesus' feet with oil in the Pharisee Simon's house. This is Mary, who Scripture reports received an exorcism. For not one, not two, but seven demons. This is the Mary whose Scripture reports followed Jesus in his ministry and supported him with her wealth. Faithful Mary. And now we honor her this day in July. She's not the object of worship or veneration. That would be wrong. That would be sinful. Her object of worship and veneration is our object of worship and veneration. She knew who she needed to venerate and who she needed to worship. So do we. Her love is our love. Her service was to Jesus, as is ours. Faithful Mary doesn't mean sinless Mary, though. Who knows what caused her to be filled with seven demons? She, too, was slow to believe all that the prophets had written about the Messiah. Jesus, Mary's master, that one whom she would ultimately put all faith in. So hearing at the tomb for the first time that Jesus had risen, she couldn't only think that she had been robbed of her service of anointing the body of Jesus. She was looking for a dead body. Twice she speaks about the dead body of Jesus being carried away from the tomb, and weeping consumes her. Her doubt, her fears, her disappointment. are not covered over by the resurrected Jesus, though. But all must give way to faith, and so it does. After she fails to recognize either the form or the voice of Jesus, Jesus calls her with one word, her name, Mary. And then she cries out with reverently fear and honor and love, Rabboni, which means teacher, master, my master. How wrong of her to doubt, how wrong of her to be of unbelief. Now Mary's love to Jesus was not just a personal love and satisfaction because she received a great favor from Jesus. Her love was faith in his every word. Her love was compelled by his love. His love held her together, the one whose life was a mess. She was taken with all he did, not just the casting out of the seven demons, but faithful Mary had concluded rightly upon seeing Jesus, then hearing his voice, and then clinging to him that Jesus has risen. It is true. And she judged rightly that this was the work that mattered. Her losing seven demons paled in comparison to the death and the resurrection of Jesus, her master. St. Paul would make the same judgment years later. Whether or not he seemed crazy or insane, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said this, "The love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." Those were faithful Mary's marching orders. He died for me. He now lives for me. I no longer live for service to myself. Shame on those Hollywood filmmakers. Shame on those New York booksellers who have profited on the lie that Jesus and Mary Magdalene were husband and wife. And that Mary had Jesus' children. Jesus is husband to the church, not to Mary. His bride is you, the church, the holy Christian and apostolic church, which believes that God was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in all the world, and taken up in glory. Anyone with faith in this Christ is saintly, just like Mary Magdalene. You don't necessarily need to have seven demons taken out of you to be saintly. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you are saintly. Justified, just like Mary, in faith, faithful and like Mary, anyone who takes the body and blood of Jesus Christ, believing that they proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again, is faithful. They receive the forgiveness of sins. They are God's saints. They are his church. They are the bride of Jesus Christ. Anyone who has been baptized into Jesus Christ, into his death, as St. Paul says, Romans chapter 6. Being baptized into his death so that sin is no longer master of them at all. But faith is their master now. One, they are saints. Anyone who confesses their sins, knowing that Jesus is faithful and just to forgive all sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, is part of that holy Christian, Catholic, apostolic church, the bride of Christ. Because of the holy regeneration and the bond of fellowship that was given to them by the Holy Spirit. They are his bride. They are the faithful. They are like Mary Magdalene. Thank God for all the saints. Yes, for faithful Mary. But also for those countless saints who have no scriptural record, who weren't privileged to speak one-on-one with Jesus, or to touch him, or to see him. Saints who believe they are blessed to believe, and not to see. Saints who live no chronicle on earth, who leave no chronicle on earth, other than this, they were faithful unto death. Saints who have bore daily grief and pain with joy, who have not sought fame, not martyrdom, but might have been martyred. Saints who have had maybe tongues cut out for the speaking of the word. Children taken away. Limbs severed. Jobs that rightfully should have gone to them, gone to others. Because they were Christians and they spoke the name of Jesus. Scars received from beatings and brandings. Even those that will never be recorded in Scripture nor in the chronicles of history. But they believe Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, and that he did die and rise from the grave. Have you resisted evil in your life to the point of shedding your blood? I can tell you so far, no. You're here. But maybe it's in your future. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons, as heirs of the heavenly kingdom? As the writer to the Hebrews says, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones whom he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." So in whatever we are dealing with in life and in our death, may I simply be faithful, Lord. Faithful like Mary Magdalene. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, bind and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.